My name's Darrell O'Neill, and I'm an alcoholic. Howdy, howdy. My sobriety date is December 17th, 1979. The reason I tell you that is because all you people out there are responsible for my sobriety. I am not. I was given the gift of sobriety by a power greater than myself, and you people have helped sustain that gift. Through no actions of my own did I get sober. I had to be taught. And the way I was taught was by going to a guy who said, I can help you. Do the 12 steps. And that's what I attempted to do. Excuse me. And the other reason I tell you that my sobriety date is because every time I go into a room and I hear a speaker or see someone, I often wonder how long they've been sober. So that question can be put out of your mind. All right? And then there's another reason, but I always forget that reason. I don't remember what that is. Okay, Jerry, my good friend, asked me to do step two for him when he wasn't able to. And then he came back and asked me to do step 12. And if anyone was here for step two, I mean, I thought it was really an ego boost for me, for him to ask me, because I think Jerry does his steps wonderfully. I mean, he's very funny, very witty, and I'm not going to say I keep telling him he's full of wit, so I didn't say that. But he's got a tremendous sense of humor, and I love to hear him speak. Now, I have a sense of humor also, but I'm a Yankee. I'm from New Jersey, where I got sober. Okay. And I think I heard a homegirl out up here doing the 12 traditions, too. But in that area, you know, we're New York's parking lot. But anyway, I have a sense of humor that sometimes comes across as harsh. When I think something is funny, the person I'm talking to really doesn't think it's funny. And sometimes I hurt their feelings. And I believe me, from the bottom of my heart, I do not mean that. There is no intention there of hurting anyone today. Now, before I quit drinking, that was totally different. I intended to hurt people. But today, I do not intentionally hurt people. So, as in step two, when I was here, I told everybody when I try to make a joke or something, and it just, I mean, like everybody looks at me like, I'm going to raise my hand so you know I'm joking, all right? And what happened last time, I thought was really neat. Somebody in the front row, I had said something, and somebody in the front row, I mean, I got that blank stare, you know, like, what's he talking about? And somebody in the front row went like that, and I go, oh, yeah, right there. So there, people are helping me too, and I love that. And that's what this program of Alcoholics Anonymous and this fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is all about. It's helping one another. It's accepting me with all my faults, all my character defects, my dumb sense of humor, and everything else, and welcome me with love into this fellowship. And people, that is something I never found. And I had been looking for that all my life. But I found it here. And it was a gift, freely given to me. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I'm a dictionary person. I learned that from Joe and Charlie. I understand or can put in a sentence a word and know what it means. But if you ask me for a definition of that word, I couldn't give it to you. Not a good definition. Okay? But the theme of this whole step is the joy of living. So we have happy, joyous, and free. That's what this program is all about. It's also trudging the road of happy destiny. It is not skipping down it. Unfortunately. But as I look back, I can see where everything has come together. Everything has come together to get me to this point, to help me in my life, and to help me stay sober. Well, getting back to Jerry, I mean, he asked me to do step two, you know, and I really, that was an ego boost for me. You couldn't tell that, could you? But then I got to thinking about it, you know, and this rational thinking comes through once in a while, and I figured out probably he couldn't get anybody else. You know, with my ego, sure, I'll do it. But anyway, step 12 is the joy of living. I'm going to bounce back and forth and up and down, and you know, I just bounce all over the place, so you know, just take what you want and leave the rest here, and all I can do is ask you to identify. Don't compare yourself. I compared myself and I went back out, but I came back real quick. I had enough AA to know that I needed to be here. I only went out for a couple of weeks. I stayed 90 days. And these people didn't have what I want. 2 weeks later, they had it all. They had everything I wanted. And I knew it then. The theme of this 12 step, this step 12, is the joy of good living. And that's covered in page 89 through 103 in the big book. The whole chapter 7, is working with others. That whole chapter is dedicated to step 12. It's a wonderful step. Wonderful step. The other 11 are wonderful steps. Step 4 and 5 is probably the most, I can't put numbers like which step I like the best, because if I can look back over each step was so very, very, very important to my sobriety. If you haven't gotten to those steps, do them. Because the people you see who have sobriety here and who are basically happy people have done those steps. The people you see who have a lot of time in this program and are miserable have not done these steps. And if they tell you they have, I might look at somebody else. I might look at somebody who smiles and who's happy, and who can live life today on life's terms, and it doesn't get them down. And that's not to say I don't get depressed. Yeah, I don't like that word. But I get the black butts is what I get. I don't get depressed. Okay? And what I do is I turn around and I look at myself today. Every time, it's me. Nothing to do with anybody else. It's me. Every time. And if we can reach that point and find out what's going on with us and go back to these steps and work these steps the way they're supposed to be worked with a sponsor, that black butt goes away. Just disappears. And then I wonder why the hell I ever had it to begin with. See, I'm saying that word because we got a younger person here. We got I'm trying to watch what I say, but the real word is ass. Don't tell anyone. Okay, back to step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice. What does practice mean? Repeated performance, or systematic exercise for the purpose of acquiring skill or proficiency. Practice these steps. Keep doing them. Don't do them once. Can't do them once and say, oh yeah, I got through the steps. I cringe when I hear that. I'm always working one step, at least. Practice these principles. Principles, a basic law, axiom, or doctrine. A personal or specific basis of conduct or operation. In all our affairs, okay? I like that word, is a particular operation, darn if I know what that word, or proceeding, anything requiring action or effort, I think. Okay. The joy of living is the theme of AA's 12th step, and action is the key word. Very simple. Here we experience the kind of giving that asks no rewards. I get chills when I think about and read this stuff. I really do, because these things are happening in my life daily. Not all the time, but somewhere down the road, or some one little minute of the day, something wonderful happens. And when I close, you will find out what I've been talking about. When the 12th step is seen in its full implication, it is really talking about the kind of love that has no price tag on it. I take these words to heart today because it's what makes me appreciate the joy of good living. As perfect as I am, I do falter occasionally, not often, but occasionally, no more than 30, 40 times a day, minimum. Having had a spiritual awakening, go to Appendix 2 in the Big Book, Spiritual Experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Okay, and then they go on to explain this spiritual experience. In Appendix 2 in the Big Book, it's in the back of the book, page 569. In my book, I don't know what page it is in the newer editions or anything. But I like to look at spiritual awakening and spiritual experience. Two distinct and separate types of, I need a word and I don't know what it is. Two things happen, okay? A spiritual experience Bill describes in his story. And he talks about a cool mountain breeze coming down off of the mountaintops, or a cool breeze coming down off the mountaintops, and how it felt. And there was something that took place immediately. Okay. Now, in Appendix 2, it goes on to say that most of us do not experience this type of change. It's gradual. It's more of the educational variety, is what they explain it as. Okay, but I look at an awakening as like when I get up in the morning, I am not functioning right away. I have to have my coffee and brush my teeth and, you know, throw water on my face and those kind of things. And that's what I have to do in order to wake up. That's what AA, the 12 steps, have done for me. It is a gradual change. I awaken. I get up and I start doing step one. Maybe that's my coffee. And step two is water on my face. And those kind of things to wake me up and to bring me to this point. Spiritual awakening simply means change. That's all it means. Now, if anyone who has been sober for any amount of time, like 24 hours or more, and has not had a drink today, who considers themselves an alcoholic, that's a spiritual awakening, as far as I'm concerned. That's a change, because if I was a daily drinker, so when I didn't drink for one day, that was a spiritual awakening. That's the beginning of it, and that's in step one. But the whole thing culminates in step 12. And that's what we do when we start taking an action, taking more actions to help our fellow alcoholics gain sobriety. And Bill talks about it, and Dr. Bob talks about it, working with others. That's a good heading for a chapter, isn't it? Working for others. I think I'm going to write that down somewhere. Okay, he goes on to say, maybe there are as many definitions of spiritual awakening as there are people who have had them. That's neat. So we all have a definition of a spiritual awakening, and just a little bit different. But it's kind of like a funnel. It all kind of comes down into one little spot. Okay? But I have to tell you this. You can't get to step 12 without doing the other 11 steps. You cannot. You might think you did or do, but you ain't. I have to tell you that. Because you have nothing. Learn nothing, gain nothing, understand nothing until you do those 12 steps. If you don't do them, you're sober, maybe. Going back to what I said before, those guys who walk around here with 15, 20, 25 years in AA, you should have got sober when I got sober. I'm glad I didn't. Oh, wait until you get to your fourth step and your fifth step. The fourth and the fifth step are made to break you out of what you're in. They're made for that. I had an opportunity this week to do two fifth steps with two different people. And you know what those people said to me? I have never felt so good. Now, why the hell would a fifth step scare anybody? I have never felt so good. And these are not three-year-olds. One person was 54, and the other person was in their 40s. I have never felt so good. Why would you be afraid of something that makes you feel good? I see all those little wheels turning up there. But we have to do those steps in order to get to this one. This is a big step. A long step. I mean, it's a lot of pages. It's like page 109 to almost 130. That's a lot of pages for a step. But it explains everything that we need to know. I highlight stuff, and eventually everything is highlighted in a whole book. You know? I mean, it's amazing. There's just so much good stuff in here. You know? It really is. It's just so tremendous. And Bill has such a wonderful ability to write and to explain things that I can understand them. But you see, I'm not drinking when I read this stuff, and so it's not real easy to understand, but every time I read it, I can reflect back and see things that I didn't see before. I look at the world today totally different than I did before. I can go into a restaurant and it's real busy, and I might start getting annoyed, and then I figured, well, you know, so what? I mean, I'll eventually eat, and if I don't like it there, I can go somewhere else. And the waitress is going nuts and everything, and she may mix up the order, and I smile at her today. I don't chew her out. She didn't do it on purpose. It's nobody's fault. Oh, but God. I mean, I used to take everything personal. I mean, you know, everything from the president on down. It was personal. I mean, everybody was out to get me. Today, I don't have to worry about those things. Today, I live in today. I work in today. And I stay sober in today. You know what a relief that is? Those of you who know what I'm talking about. It's a tremendous relief. And that's not to say I don't go through things. Bill goes on to talk about the steps as we go through them. Step one is an amazing paradox. We couldn't be rid of the alcohol obsession until we first admitted that we were powerless over it. Step two, we saw that since we could not restore ourselves to sanity, we could not restore ourselves to sanity. Some higher power must necessarily do so if we were to survive. Step three, we turned our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. For the time being, we who were atheist or agnostic discovered that our own group or AA as a whole would suffice. It gives us an out each time. It does not paint us into a corner. It does not say you have to do it this way. That's why he says a spiritual experience or a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps are as probably as many as there are people who got sober. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to do it like I did. And I don't have to do it like you did. I just love this program. Step four. We commence to search out the things in ourselves which has brought us to physical, moral, and spiritual bankruptcy in ourselves. Nobody brought us there. Nobody put us there. I put me there for whatever reason. I don't ask why anymore. I don't care what the reason is. I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want to hurt. Step five, we decided that an inventory taken alone is not enough.
Well, if I know and God knows, what's the big deal?
The big deal is about 6 inches between this year and this year. And for me, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, that's trouble. That's why I needed someone else. I needed the assistance of somebody else who was completely detached from me, but who cared about me enough to sit down and talk to me about these things. Amazing. I used the Joe and Charlie fourth step form. It's great. It really is wonderful. And you go down this form this way, and it's, you know, it's not difficult. It's real easy to understand. But I use that, and these two folks that I did their fifth steps with them this week, the whole thing was fear. Everything was fear. Everything. And you know what, folks? It's that way in everybody's fifth step. It's fear. Want to get past it? Do a fifth step. You know what fear is? Lack of faith. Period. Understand, I am talking for myself now. Okay? Fear is lack of faith. I go to meetings and I hear people say, well, I wouldn't go in a yard with a pit bull. That's fear. No, that's stupidity. That's dumb. I wouldn't walk out in front of a train. Neither would I. There are healthy fears. I don't know. All I know for me is fear is lack of faith. Period. If I have a fear, I'm not trusting my higher power. And what happens is those fears take over and they start edging out my faith. Pretty soon I have no faith. Now, when I start accepting those fears as false evidence appearing real and conjuring up all these things in my head and stop doing that, faith comes in. Fear goes out. There's only so much room in me. So I have to have more of the good stuff and less of the bad stuff. Now, that will never totally go away, which I'm grateful for today, because I have something to work on. I couldn't stand being perfect. Although I'm close, real close. Step six, that's a tough step, because many of us balk for the practical reason that we did not wish to have all our defects of character removed. Well, can I hold on to just these? You can, but how long do you want to be miserable? You can hang on to anything you want. It's choice time. Step seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings, such as He could or would under the conditions of the day we asked. Step eight, we continued our house cleaning. Step nine, we made our amends, direct amends to those concerned. Ten. And Step nine is where the promises kick in. The ones that everybody reads. That's where you get those promises. So anybody doing step one, two, two, three, and I can't understand why these promises are not being fulfilled. That's the reason, because they don't show up until step nine. If we are painstaking, we will be amazed before we are halfway through, talking about step nine. And that's in the beginning, if we are painstaking. And then at the end of that, it says, if we are willing to work for them. See, there's all kinds of cautions in these books, in these steps for us. And Bill points them out. Unfortunately, I read over them a lot of times. And then I can't understand why. I have people continually coming to me, asking me, how come things don't get any better? So I don't know. Well, the reason is maybe because you're smoking dope a couple times a week. Well, I can handle that. Okay. Great. And then they ask me how come things aren't getting better. I said, well, I don't know about you, but things don't get better for me. I get better, things stay the same. Nothing changes. Nothing but me. Now, people around me might change because I have changed. And I don't bite somebody's head off. They're not going to snap back at me. If I smile at them, they're liable to smile back. That's a great feeling. It really is. To be able to do that. Okay. Step 10, we had begun to get a basis for daily living. Got to go all the way to step 10 to do that. A basis for daily living. When we were wrong, we promptly admit it. We take an inventory and we admit it right away, right off the hop. You know how easy that is to do for me today? Not real easy, but it's a lot easier. You know? A lot easier today. I can go to my daughter, who's 25 years old, and I could say something that hurts her feelings, and I can come back to her and truly mean I am sorry. Because of this step, I don't have to sit there with my arms folded and my jaw tight as a guitar string, saying, I'm right, I'm going to be right, and I will never apologize. I don't have to do that no more. I could say I'm sorry because of the way I acted or reacted. And I don't have to carry around a resentment. I don't have to get new teeth because I grind these down to nothing. Whoa, look at this. So practicing these steps, we had a spiritual awakening about which finally there was no question. Today I can feel that. I can honestly tell you from the bottom of my heart, I can feel that. And it's only as a result of these 12 steps. Only for me. The wonderful energy it releases and the eager action by which it carries our message to the next suffering alcoholic, and which finally translates the 12 steps into action upon all our affairs, is the payoff. The magnificent reality of Alcoholics Anonymous. The magnificent reality. Even the newest of newcomers finds undreamed rewards as he tries to help his brother alcoholic, the one who is even blinder than he is. The divine paradox of this kind of giving, he has found his own reward. His own character may still be gravely defective, but he somehow knows that God has enabled him to make a mighty beginning, and he senses that he stands at the edge of new mysteries, joys, and experiences of which he had never even dreamed. Now, you new folks can talk to them old folks, and they can tell you about this, and I promise them, most of them won't lie to you. If the people who have been here a while and have done the steps, you can see, you can actually see it. They're different. They're the ones who are smiling. They're the ones who hug you and pat you on the back and shake your hand and give you a little kiss on the cheek, because they have experienced it. They have experienced it. These things are the substance of what we receive as we carry AA's message to the next alcoholic. We sit in AA meetings and listen, not only to receive something ourselves, but to give the reassurance and support which our presence can bring. He talks about two-stepping in here. I know about two-step, and I'm not talking about the Texas two-step or anything like that. We may often pass through 12-step experiences where we will seem to be temporarily off the beam. These will appear as big setbacks at the time, but will be seen later as stepping stones for better things. These are all true. These are absolutely true. You've got to be careful of the two-steppers, because you cannot give something you don't have. You may think you can, and the person you're talking to may think you can. Not going to work. I couldn't understand why nobody would ask me to sponsor them, because I had a good rhetoric about AA. And it took me 6 years before someone asked me to be their... people asked me to be their sponsor, but as soon as they started talking to me, I knew I was full of baloney. 6 years later, someone asked me to be their sponsor. You know what happened? I had done the steps, finally, the way they were supposed to be done. I don't recommend you wait that long. I really don't. But that's what it took me. And I'm here to tell you. It took me 6 years to do a fourth step and to get through the steps and a fifth step. Fear, ladies and gentlemen, fear. Why would I not want to feel good? Because I was afraid of what I was looking at. Because I knew me inside, and I didn't want anybody else to know me. But that's what it took me. Since then, I have done 5 or 6 fourth and fifth steps. And you know what I found? I found out a lot of times I had kept resentments that I'd written down originally, why I was so angry and stuff. And once I started cleaning house, things got better. I got better. Things stayed the same. Change. Okay, he's talking about that two-step, and I really like that. And I have seen it many times in these rooms. Dangerous areas. I'll tell you that. again, I have told you when I did the second step here, I told people that I have never seen a friendlier club than this one. I mean, people actually shook my hand out in front and said, "Hi, my name is. Glad you're here." I didn't know who I was. This club has something. Better watch this. Ah, what the hell, I'll give everybody resentment. This club has something that no other clubs that I've ever been to has. Keep it. Don't lose it. This is a nice place to come. I found myself driving from Mandarin to here with a smile on my face because I knew I was coming here. That's nice. There are places I do not go to. There are meetings I do not attend. Because I see everything that's talked about in this book. Two-stepping. Do step one, and then you go out and help everybody else. Don't work. I sponsor an individual who did that for a long time. But got drunk a lot of times too and couldn't understand why. Okay, I'm going to have to clean this act up here. I'm sorry that I didn't get through step 12 the way I wanted to, but being an Irish-Italian guy from New Jersey, I can talk forever and still not get finished. And I want you to know that this has been a wonderful experience for me. I am very glad that Jerry's dad is in town. And Jerry got to see his dad. And I am absolutely elated that I had an opportunity to come out here and to speak, because I love this program. I love what it's given me. And without being sober today, there's some things that I would never have experienced before in my life. My daughter is 25, as I explained. I was 10 years sober. I was the sober one in the house. I'm divorced now, but when she was growing up, and I saw that child drink and do drugs until it almost killed her. And it almost killed me and her mother. April the 12th, I had an opportunity to give her her third blue chip. Without sobriety, I could have never done that. Without this program and you people, I would have never been given that opportunity. I would have missed that. Still, you may say, but I will not have the benefit of contact with you who write this book. We cannot be sure. God will determine that. So you must remember that your real reliance is always upon Him. He will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Okay, that's like jumping out of an airplane with a parachute. They suggest you pull the ripcord. We realize we know only a little. Speak for yourself. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass. For you and countless others, this is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I just want to close with this. I believe in heaven. I'm not preaching. I'm just telling you what I believe. Okay? When I die and I go to heaven, and I get up there at them pearly gates, and somebody says, O'Neill, okay, you're here. And I turn around and I look and I see all these beautiful gifts packaged, because in another book it says there will be gifts laid up for you in heaven. Okay? And it says, to Darryl from God. And I say, are those the gifts you talked about in that other book that I read? This is not the answer I want to hear. No, those were the gifts I gave to you on earth, but you never opened them. Start looking for those gifts with your name on it from God, because they are there and they are everywhere. Everybody here tonight has a bow on their head with their name on it saying, to Darryl from God. Each one of you have been given to me, as a gift from God. So it's like Christmas today for me. I want to tell you about one more thing. My sponsor had a little cartoon. And it was a picture of a guy kneeling by his bed. And he was looking up with his hands clasped, or in a prayer position or whatever they are, and folded. And he was talking to his higher power, and he said, I sure wish you would answer this prayer, but could you make it look like I did it? And that's like I am most of the time. That's me. But every once in a while I get a glimpse of this heaven on earth today. And it is heaven on earth. My higher power has given me heaven on earth today. Because I've been to hell, folks. I believe we all have. Don't want to go back. That's why I know I'm going to see you all one day somewhere else. And Bill will be chairing. And Dr. Bob will be reading How It Works. And we'll all be there. Because we all served our time in hell. That's how I know you're going to heaven with me. All you got to do is stay sober and do what they tell us to do, and your heart will be free, and you will love life and know that you don't have to worry about taking care of yourself, because somebody else is watching over you right now. And all you have to do is have that faith and get rid of that fear. And it'll work. I promise you, from the bottom of my heart, it will work. Thank you.